Oh, DeMarcus Cousins. You may be long gone from Sacramento, but you seem to always be in the minds and hearts of Sacramento Kings fans. And you have once again reemerged thanks to an article written by Mark Spears, an interview with DeMarcus, where he had some interesting things to say the least, about the Sacramento Kings. And here to talk about what DeMarcus said, the context behind the things that he said, and give us some insight on why his comments are the way they are, and whether or not he has a point with some of his negative comments, I'm going to be joined by Jason Jones, currently works for The Athletic, longtime beat writer for the Sacramento Kings, covered every single second of DeMarcus Cousins' career in Sacramento, knows DeMarcus very, very well. Jason and I will talk through all of DeMarcus's gripes right here on the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of your Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And my name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. Just wrapped up my eighth season covering Kings basketball. Currently work for ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And Jason is someone that I got to know very quickly when I started covering the Sacramento Kings 8 years ago. Jason, at the time, was a daily beat reporter for the Kings, no longer does that for The Athletic, much to his relief in a lot of ways. But Jason has been in the Sacramento sports scene, familiar with the Sacramento Kings for a very, very long time. And like I said in the introduction, when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins, there are few in Sacramento that know more about DeMarcus, both personally and professionally, as Jason does. So he was a no-brainer guest for me to get here on Locked On Kings tonight to talk about DeMarcus's comments in this article. Just all you have to do is Google DeMarcus Cousins Sacramento Kings, and this article by Mark Spears will come up. It is a great read. Talks a lot about the Kings, of course, but also talks about his time currently with the Denver Nuggets, just all the adversity that he has faced with all the injury issues since being traded to the New Orleans Pelicans from the Kings so many years ago. It's a phenomenal article and a very interesting conversation. Whether you like DeMarcus, hate DeMarcus, it's worth your time. So go and give that article a read. Go and check that out. And then make sure you keep listening, because my conversation with Jason will go into the background of a lot of the things that DeMarcus had to say, reasons why he is saying that he did more for Sacramento than the Kings did for him, which is a statement that I actually 100% agree with, even if I was not the biggest fan of DeMarcus Cousins during his time here in Sacramento. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with The Athletic's Jason Jones about our good old, maybe Kings legend, DeMarcus Cousins. Somehow, even though it's been years since DeMarcus Cousins' departure from Sacramento, he's still a household name here amongst Sacramento Kings fans and even non-Kings fans. DeMarcus Cousins will probably forever be a Sacramento icon, and he is back in the mouths of us, back on Kings podcast, back in the general Kings conversation because of his recent comments in an article with Mark Spears, where he let loose his still pretty bitter feelings towards the Sacramento Kings organization. And rather than have me talk through it as someone who covered some of the years that DeMarcus Cousins was here, I figured who better to talk on this than Jason Jones, who currently works for The Athletic, covered the Sacramento Kings for a very long time for both The Athletic and the Sacramento Bee. Jason, you were with DeMarcus from day one through his departure, so you know him very, very well. What was your initial reaction? Knowing you, I have a feeling there's a smile on your face reading and hearing some of these comments that DeMarcus had to say about Sacramento and about the Kings organization.
Well, I mean, I think some of it is I was not there for the interview, but you kind of hear some of the fact that how things ended still stings a little. I mean, I think to give it a little context, people just remember he got traded at the All-Star game. It wasn't just that. He got traded not long after being promised a Supermax extension. You know, where the story I was told, Vivek Ranadive and crew go to his house, pop open a nice bottle of wine to celebrate this monumentous moment for him in the franchise. And then 2 weeks later, he's gone. And he's never gotten that money back, you know, because obviously he went to New Orleans, you know, ruptured his Achilles. That was followed by the torn quad with the Warriors, and he tears his ACL before he can even get going with the Lakers. So he's never recouped that money. He was going to be in that 5-year, $200 million range, and he never got that. So, I mean, there's definitely some feelings about the way things ended. And just, I think, some of the things that were said about him on the way out. I mean, I'll never forget that press release where they added the line, character matters. As if every problem was because DeMarcus was this bad person who set the franchise back all these years. And, you know, what is that? He's been gone, 5 years now? The team still really isn't any better. So, I mean, clearly he wasn't, you know, he wasn't why the team wasn't good. But I even said it at the time, to throw in character matters was a low blow to a team that brought in a guy like Ty Lawson, let him disappear at preseason, and then kept him on the team. I mean, to then take a shot at DeMarcus was, you know, who at that point had never had an off the court incident. It was this. I mean, I think that those things still sting. I think, you know, with him, and they still, you know, it still bothers him. Then, you know, because he really, you know, say what you want about him, he gave his all in Sacramento. He wanted to be in Sacramento, and I don't think he ever felt, at least from the organization's point of view, that the organization loved him the way he loved Sacramento.
Yeah, there's great chunks from this article. One of the ones I want to focus on, he does talk about how much it sucks, how much money he's lost, but it doesn't sound like that's the primary thing, although I imagine missing out on $200 million is a significant thing that might keep you up at night. I'd stay up at night missing $200 sometimes. But the main chunk that I want to talk about from this article, Jason, I know you'll have thoughts on this, is he was asked if he could go back in his career and change anything. What would he change? And he said that he would have skipped his draft workout in Sacramento. And then he goes on to say, what did Sac do for me besides say my name on draft day? I did more for them than they did for me. That's just being honest, just being 100% honest. I have 2 owners, 3 GMs, 7 coaches in 7 years. And Jason, in DeMarcus's time here in Sacramento, I had questions about whether or not the Kings could win with him being the number one guy. Nobody believes that DeMarcus Cousins was an angel here in Sacramento either. His on-the-court issues were well-documented around the NBA, not just here. However, what flew under the radar a lot of times was the off-the-court stuff that he did in the community and how much of a community guy that he was that oftentimes wasn't highlighted. I think that's important to note when talking about this. But even with my criticisms that I had of DeMarcus Cousins, even with the issues that I had with DeMarcus and his time here in Sacramento, I read that section, Jason, and I agreed 100% with it. I agree with him completely. He did more for Sacramento, in my mind, than the Kings organization did for him. Do you agree with that?
I think about the fact that when he was on the team, people actually cared about what the Kings were doing, even if they weren't good. Mm-hmm. I just remember after the trade, you know, you travel around the league, beat writers, you know, there's certain games as a beat writer you don't take a night off for. You're going to be in town when this person's in town, you know, when these guys are in town, you're not going to take that night off. All of a sudden, all my buddies, I stopped seeing them because the Kings were coming to town. They didn't care.
Yep.
There was like, well, I don't want to see them. Like, who, you know, I don't want to watch those guys play. DeMarcus gave them or made them a talking point. Like, even now, you know, you've got, you know, De'Aaron's a, you know, a talented player. Sabonis is a good player. But does anybody really talk about the Kings? I mean, does anyone really, you know, it's almost like if they win 5 games in a row, does the NBA even hear it? They're just kind of just their own island of, you know, irrelevancy. Only thing we don't know about the Kings is that they don't make the playoffs ever. You know, and then, you know, then you get those random TV moments where Jeff Van Gundy decides to lay into the organization. This is like in a random national game. He just reminds everyone the Kings are terrible. It's like, okay, Jeff, that's interesting. You know, but I mean, I think DeMarcus did everything he could as a young player to try to help the franchise. And I always tell people, you know, a lot of the problems that the Kings had with him, so to speak, were because they misread him. Or I go back to the draft where they drafted Thomas Robinson. And amongst the coaching staff, the feeling was, if you're going to take a big man, you take Andre Drummond and you move DeMarcus to the four. Mm. You know, at that point in time, teams are still playing pretty, you know, we're playing big. So, either, you know, if you're going to take a big, you take Drummond. You don't take Thomas Robinson. But there was a feeling in the organization that if they took Thomas, they took Drummond, that would hurt DeMarcus's feelings, which was 100% not true. But just because this perception of him was so pervasive in the organization, they're making decisions as if he's going to like lose it. And he wasn't. And then, you know, you get to the Vlade years and it's like, I mean, there were just so many weird things. It's like the whole idea that, you know, Shaq is a minority owner and Shaq's going to be his mentor. It's like, no, he's not. Shaq's not going to be out here, you know. And then you get to the, you know, well, Vlade can be his mentor. And it's like, you know, did Vlade help or hurt him? I don't know. I mean, there's times I could say, you know, Vlade tried to get talent around him, but he, you know, did he succeed? Clearly he didn't. Hmm. Well, I mean, like I said, and I think even with the whole was DeMarcus, you know, DeMarcus got technical fouls. DeMarcus wasn't getting, you know, he wasn't beating people up on the court. I just think that a lot of times the stuff that was going on with him was his frustration. I mean, we saw him go out there and get 30 and 15 some nights and they still lose. So, I mean,
happened a lot.
Yeah, you know, and then you look at the numbers. I mean, what struck me from that article was that even throughout the last few years where he couldn't play, he still basically averages 20 and 10 for his career, mm-hmm. which pretty much means it just tells you how dominant he was in Sacramento and that part in New Orleans where he got hurt. Mm-hmm. Forget, when he got hurt in New Orleans, he was the one carrying them, not Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, it's just – I feel for him in the sense that it's almost like once he got traded and he got hurt, everyone just kind of forgot. I won't say forgot about him, but he still gets a lot of – I mean, I'm amazed at how many people still bring him up with Sacramento as if he's been here lately. Like, you know, them being bad, that has nothing to do with DeMarcus. I mean, they're the ones who traded him and got – you know, the only player they kept from that trade outside of – I mean, I always clue De'Aaron because they traded DeMarcus in part to tank. To be able to be in the top five, you know, yeah. They would have picked second if not for that, you know, Philly situation and that pick swap, you know. So, you know, really all they have to show for DeMarcus is De'Aaron. They don't have Buddy anymore. I guess you could say kind of, you know, you do the degree of separation, you get some bonus out the deal, but no, you traded him basically for you basically traded DeMarcus for De'Aaron and Buddy.
And that
wasn't a winning backcourt. That wasn't a championship or a playoff backcourt. But that's what you got for a four-time All-Star.
And honestly, even including De'Aaron in it is a bit generous the way you look at it too, because you could also talk about Vlade completely botching the pick that you got that year from the Pelicans. That was the 10th overall pick, and the Kings mm-hmm. could have taken. Davion Mitchell was available there. You had Malik Monk, if you wanted to have De'Aaron's teammate join him, was available there. And instead, you trade that for two.
I'm going to tell you who some people wanted. Some of the folks in the upstairs wanted Bam Adebayo.
Yep, Bam. Bam was there, too.
Some of their scouts wanted. But the feeling, kid you, the feeling was, we don't need Bam. We've got Willie and Scal. I mean, those are just some of the You look back now and go, what were they thinking? But those are just some of the, you know, one of the crimes the Kings have repeatedly made in the draft is we don't take that guy because we have this guy, even though we're not good. Mm. I'm like, you don't have a guy good enough to where you say, you know what, we got a guy at his position. We can't take someone. Mm. But they made that mistake repeatedly. You don't take. I can go across every single GM I covered where you just said why. You know, you don't take Kawhi Leonard because, well, he doesn't like – we don't think he's good enough offensively. And it's like, okay, you got a bunch of ball hogs already. Why do you need another one? You know, mm-hmm. you don't – you know, you take Jimmer to be a point guard when Jimmer's actually undersized too. You know, you don't – if you wanted a two, you could have took Klay Thompson. You know, Klay Thompson was in Sacramento looking at houses. and they his people could not believe the Kings passed on him. But yeah. Hey, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, you just stack the error on top of error on top of error. It's like, if you think DeMarcus was their biggest problem, you're crazy.
Today's Locked On Kings podcast is brought to you by Prize Picks. And man, I wish Prize Picks was around when DeMarcus Cousins was playing for the Sacramento Kings, because even if the Kings weren't that good of a team in terms of fantasy points and fantasy impact, DeMarcus was close to the top of the list on a nightly basis with the numbers that he was putting up. Prize Picks is the best way for daily fantasy NBA action. I love this app. I know you will too. It's the really only way, in my opinion, to play fantasy basketball. You pick 2 to 5 players and over under on their projections. You can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. You're not playing anybody else. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. PrizePicks offers safe and fast withdrawals. You can use their award-winning app on both the App Store or on Google Play. The way it works, they offer any prop really that you think of, from like points scored to rebounds to steals, and they have not just NBA action. They have college basketball, college football, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, and so much more. For a limited time, Locked On Kings listeners can take advantage of an exclusive no-brainer of an offer. You can get $50 for free if a player in your first prize pick entry scores a single point. That's it. It's that easy. A single point scored and you get $50 for free, but you have to use promo code NBA. Make sure you're playing Prize Picks, the best way to play NBA daily fantasy sports. Part of this article, DeMarcus brings up Vlade Divac in a question that had nothing to do with Vlade. He was asked if he thinks he has Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame numbers. And mm-hmm. He says, Vlade Divac is in the Hall of Fame. And Mark asks him, but I'm asking about you, DeMarcus. And I can hear how DeMarcus said that. I can read this article, and I know you can too. We know exactly how DeMarcus said this, and we know exactly the look on his face when he says, Vlade Divac is in the Hall of Fame. Look at his career stats and look at mine. We'll leave it at that. I mean, he's got a point there too, even though Vlade's more in the Basketball Hall of Fame for the international work that he did. What I took out of that was less a dig at Vlade's Hall of Fame and more, yeah, there's still some bad blood there between DeMarcus Cousins and Vlade Divac, who of course was the one that traded him away. What was interesting was recently, we saw a embrace between DeMarcus Cousins and Kings owner Vivek Ranadive in Sacramento not too long ago, which suggests that either if there was a bridge burnt, that it's been rebuilt, or that relationship's been mended, or it was fine all along and all the bad blood was directed at Vlade. What can you say about that situation? Is it really, did DeMarcus really blame Vlade solely for everything that happened and not so much Kings ownership and those who are maybe still around?
Not Vlade solely, no. No, and I think, you know, I'd heard too that in general, DeMarcus had kind of made peace with Vlade over how things went. I think we can all agree, trading a man during the All-Star game is pretty messed up. You know, and I think they had come to a point where I don't think they're going to be hanging out, but, you know, they're I don't think they're going to, like, you know, also come to blow. I think that was also more about the, remember, I think in that article as well, that question also came about was, you know, should his number be retired? So I think I kind of just tied the two together. It's like, well, Vlade's is. And I mean, I know everyone will say, well, Vlade was, you know, part of a winner. You know, he meant more. I mean, you can't objectively say that Vlade was a better basketball player or a more dominant player, even his peak. And I love Vlade. Vlade was not DeMarcus. You know, Vlade was not, a 24-14, you know, just force in the paint. I kind of said, you know what, he just, you know, I think DeMarcus also realizes because of the injuries and the trades and the multiple teams, some look at his career like he hadn't had a good career. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you look at his numbers, it's like, what, 19.5 and 10 boards. There's guys in the Hall of Fame with those numbers, you know, or probably even lesser numbers. So I hear what he's saying. I just think that in terms of, you know, the Hall of Fame, I think his prime got cut too short. No one, a lot of folks forget how good he was. I mean it just pained me. I'm watching the game the other night, and Charles Barkley refers to DeMarcus as past his prime. And I'm thinking about it. DeMarcus is like 30, 31. it's just crazy that someone would say he's past his prime at that age, but he just lost. I mean, he lost so much time from all those injuries. Mm. Just tough.
Yeah. I personally, like, I would have no issue with 21 and 16 not being retired in Sacramento. I, as someone who grew up with that team, I enjoy seeing 21 and 16 up there, knowing how important they were to that team at that time. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious your thoughts on if 21 and 16 weren't up there, if 15 should be up there. Because to me, even if the numbers suggest, as DeMarcus talks about, like, he's got some of the best numbers in the history of the Kings organization, and I understand that completely. To me, his number does not belong up there. At least I would not consider his number up there with the likes of Weber and Richmond. 21 and 16, yes, DeMarcus deserves to be up there above those two. But I'm not taking those into account. To me, if DeMarcus is going to have his number retired with the numbers that he put up, you're acknowledging him with the Kings greats, meaning he is on an equal playing field or an equal bar with Weber and with Richmond. To me, he's not there. But I may be also a little bit biased about his time here in Sacramento. Do you feel he belongs on that level in conversations with Weber and Richmond as the greatest King of all time?
I think his numbers put him in the conversation. I don't think he'll go ahead of Weber, you know, Webb, because Webb won. And Mitch was, Mitch, and, you know, so I don't think you'll put him there per se, but in terms of guys the Kings drafted and brought through, he's easily the best, easily. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to hurt him in that discussion is just the wins and losses, which aren't all on him, you know, but talking about the guys they've drafted. Oh yeah. He's easily the best player they've ever drafted, in my opinion. It's not even close.
Yeah,
then this guy would be patient. But guys they brought in and drafted and groomed, you can't – I don't know who else you would put in, you know, anywhere near him. And then you just look where he ranks in the short time. I know I did think a couple of years ago during the pandemic about, you know, all-time Kings teams. DeMarcus is, like, top 10 in a bunch of categories, you know, points. He did a lot in a short amount of, you know – and not even 7 full seasons in Sacramento. And if he doesn't get traded, he's easily going to been top 1 or 2 in almost everything.
And he had started shooting threes too.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was going to, you know, fill up the record book. And even, like I said, the time he was in Sacramento, he filled the record book up. And I would like to believe that at some point, things will be smoothed out to the point to where his number does go up there. I think for what he did as a King, it deserves to. Because I think every team has different criteria. Mm. You know, I'm an LA guy. They only put Hall of Famers up there. I don't think the Kings are a team that's like that. Mm. They can't say we're only going to put Hall of Famers up there because then you got to take Peja down. Mm. You know, so I think it's really just kind of, I think it's in terms of the franchise, I think he'll deserve it by the time it's all said and done. But I just don't know if the people who will be in charge would agree with that. But he's definitely got a case. I just think because the team was, you know, the team wasn't good. I mean, think about it. His first, 3-4 years, he dealt with, 2 relocation situations, changed ownership groups. I mean, a lot was going on. I had a scout tell me one time, the fact that DeMarcus put up those numbers, the fact that a guy like Isaiah Thomas was as good as he was in Sacramento, they said it was almost a miracle. Because they said the environment was not such that anyone should have thrived ever. Mm. I mean, people forget how high everyone was on Rudy Gay. He gets to Sacramento, we're like, where is Rudy Gay? And not on that as a diss to Rudy, it's just that this environment guys didn't thrive in. It just didn't happen. And it almost just beat you down over time. So the fact that he did what he did, like I said, they almost moved twice. You know, that's just crazy to think about how many last games in Sacramento he played. He played a couple of last games at Arco and then played his last game in Sacramento as a King, not knowing it was going to be his last game.
Hmm. Of course, he and DeMarcus he is still in the league. He's playing for the Denver Nuggets right now, and it's great to see him playing in the playoffs. And I'm going to ask and talk a little bit about Mike Malone, because Malone was brought up a lot in this article as well, especially his time in Sacramento. We're going to get to that. But the last thing about this jersey retirement thing that I want to talk about is, if DeMarcus Cousins, let's say, and I don't think this is the case. In fact, I'm actively rooting against this being the case, but let's say this is his last season. Let's say he decides to retire this offseason. Again, don't think it's going to happen. Don't think it should happen. But if that were to happen and the Kings were to contact him on opening night or early next season and say, hey, we want to retire your number this soon, do you think he says yes?
I think so.
So there's not, the bad blood is over.
I think that would, I mean, this is, I haven't talked to DeMarcus. I just think that gesture would be them, the Kings saying, we appreciate what you did. And I think the way he was sent off with that character matters line basically said, we didn't appreciate anything you tried to do here. And to me, I'll stand by that. That was so unfair to throw that in there at him. You traded him in the middle of the All-Star game after telling the man to his face you weren't going to trade him. And then have the nerve to say, well, character matters. So I get the bad blood, but everyone in sports seems to eventually make up and get over it. I mean, the Warrior fans booed Joe Lacob because he traded Monte Ellis. Now, I don't think anyone out in San Francisco, Oakland is going to boo Joe Lacob right now. You know, so, I mean, eventually, you know, things smooth out. You know, remember Shaq and Kobe didn't get along. They eventually, you know, I mean, if Magic and Isaiah can talk again, there's just, I mean, things get smoothed out, you know, over time. And I just hope so, because I think DeMarcus, or what he did on and off the court in Sacramento, deserves, he'd be worthy of that honor. But I just don't know the criteria that, you know, I don't think this ownership group has retired a number. So I don't know what, well, Pages got retired under them, but I don't know what the kind of criteria is going to be. I can say definitively no one who's come to Sacramento since DeMarcus would deserve that honor. You know, yeah, right. I mean, he's the, I'm trying to think, who's the last player the Kings drafted who became an All-Star as a King? It's, you know, the last two All-Stars they drafted, you know, DeMarcus and Isaiah became one in Boston. So, yeah, it's a, It was sad to me and crazy how it ended. And it's just crazy to me that 5 years later, anytime he mentions Sacramento, it becomes a deal. And I've talked to him before, and he's actively tried to avoid doing that when it comes to Sacramento or George Karl. Like when George chimes in, Sacramento gave you $50 million. And I just personally have an issue when anyone says that an athlete was given money, as if he just, you know, so he just walked into an office, someone gave him a contract without him ever doing anything. Someone thought he was worth that money, you know, and they also gave him a coach in Karl that everyone told Vivek it wasn't going to work. So, I mean, you know, and the crazy thing about that, too, is if you ask DeMarcus, he'll tell you George made him a better player. George opened his game up and said, shoot the three, handle the ball. You know, so, I mean, DeMarcus has tried to publicly be nice to George. George is the petty one in this one. And I get along with both of them. And, you know, and DeMarcus has said, I am not going to feed into that. I am not going to feed into George going at me.
Today's Locked On Kings podcast brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. All the betting going on right now with the NBA playoffs. It's wild. The MLB season going on. There's so much to bet on right now. And even you can still use your Sacramento Kings knowledge to bet on, I don't know, who the next Kings head coach is going to be, or where the Kings, or who the Kings take in the draft after we find out their draft lottery position. That's all available for you, plus future bets like how many games the Kings will win next season, their championship odds. That's all available on Bet Online. They're your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at Bet Online, where the game starts. Speaking of his coaching situation, and this is the most painful part for me, Jason, and this is going to be painful probably until the Kings win again. I firmly believe, and it was nice to see these thoughts echoed from DeMarcus in this article, I firmly believe that had the Kings not made the disastrous decision of firing Mike Malone, that this team would be, this franchise would be in a completely different, completely better scenario, and or situation rather. And DeMarcus talks about that he believes he would have retired with Malone. Like he would have played the rest of his career for Malone. He doesn't say specifically in Sacramento, but he's basically hinting at it in this article that they were winning. Obviously before he went down with viral meningitis, they were going to continue winning. We wouldn't have this playoff drought that we're still in. And he also talks about, he thought the Kings were insane to trade or to fire Mike Malone. And, you know, I remember that situation. I remember the frustration that I felt, let alone the frustration that the fan base felt. And I remember a lot of people talking about how pissed off Rudy Gay was by this move, because Rudy Gay had just resigned, being told that he was going to be coached by Mike Malone, right? And that's where the basketball hell thing and everything started. I don't know. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was definitely screwed over by the Kings trading him with, after saying they were going to resign him. That's the biggest screw job they did on him. But he was just as screwed over, or close to just as screwed over, by, at least in my opinion, by the sudden firing of Mike Malone. Basically, here's a coach that finally DeMarcus was clicking with, although he does say in this article that wasn't the only coach in Sacramento that he had a good relationship with. But finally, things were working, Kings were moving in the right direction, and the organization completely pulls that from underneath both Malone, Gay, and DeMarcus Cousins. I'm curious what you think about, one, where the Kings would be had Malone not been fired, and your general thoughts on the relationship between DeMarcus Cousins and Malone. They're now reunited in Denver, which is great to see, but what could have been different for Cousins in Sacramento had the Kings not made that massive mistake?
Oh man. In all my years around the Kings, that period with Malone was the one time where I said to myself, it feels different. Something felt different. Cause even when they won 39 games, I'm like, this didn't mean anything. I said, they're not good. To me, that I'm like, this is not sustainable. I called it a Marad season. People got mad at me. I said, they're not that close. I said, don't let the 39 wins fool you. And of course, everyone got fooled, but not everyone, but people got fooled by the 39 wins. Then it was like, oh my God, they reverted back. I'm like, well, this is who they really were. The team that team was really the team that finished 9-16 after the break. It wasn't the team that was above 500 at the break. And you look at, you know, so I say, I have to say that in that Malone period, that about 100 games or so, it felt different. The level of accountability felt different. The approach felt different. It felt, you know, you felt like guys cared, you know, and between when you had, you know, IT, you had Rudy, you had, you know, DeMarc, you had some guys, you said, you know what, they've got something. And I think if you keep that together, I think Rudy is viewed differently, because now Rudy's helped the second team make the playoffs while in his prime. DeMarcus is viewed completely differently. And I think, you know, Malone becomes the best coach in Sacramento, not named Rick Adelman. I think all that probably happens. I mean, because it was trending that way. You know, they might not have even made the playoffs that year, but you felt like it was going that direction. I mean, and the thing is, people kind of mistake the whole thing with, you think Cousins and Malone had a great relationship or have one. That means that Malone was easy on him. No, he wasn't. Times where Malone threw him out of practice, you know, come apologize and then go out there and give him 30. But it was doomed before it ever got started, just because of the politics upstairs and wanting to look like the Warriors. You know, I'll never forget that day, that media day, where Vivek stops all of us and says, hey, don't leave yet, I got something to say. And then he says, you know, last year was about changing the culture. The culture is changed. And, you know, now it's about winning. And I said, they're going to fire Malone. My first thought was, he's getting fired. Because anyone who understood the league realized that team was not a playoff team. It was like, you added Darren Collison and you added Ryan Hollins. You didn't get Chris Paul and Blake Griffin from the Clippers. So just, you know, and not to clown those guys, but the way Vivek made it sound, like, oh yeah, it's over. We're about to win now. It's like, what happened to where all of a sudden this team, everything's fixed? It just felt like, you know, you were going one way, and then that's kind of been always the fear with the Kings is that, oh, the plan changed. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden what they were doing wasn't good enough anymore. All, you know, and the thing was, people on that staff told me they were surprised they made it to Thanksgiving. They thought they'd be gone in November. But then they were winning, so you couldn't fire them. And what really ripped that locker room apart was that everyone saw what happened. They see DeMarcus get sick. They start losing, and you fire the coach before he gets his best player back. Everyone saw it was, you know, it was a screw job. Everyone saw it. And that's why poor Tyrone Corbin walks in there. He doesn't stand a chance. Those guys, it didn't matter who you put in front of them, you know, with the coach. I mean, I think you set the team back years when you did that. You set it back years, you know, because you've now lost the trust. I mean, that whole locker room, people thought it was just DeMarcus was mad. That whole team was upset. You completely lost that entire team. And then the only other time I think they could have made the playoffs was the year when there was, you know, they had George. They were a game and a half out of eight. The players clearly hate George, and George isn't too fond of them either. George is not fond of the organization. I mean, and George had valid reasons not to be fond of the organization. The players didn't like him. And at that point, if you would have fired George after that night in Cleveland, where basically where Rondo just lays into him in the post game about the voluntary practices and how are we ever going to get better if things are run like this? You know, if you fire him then, I think those guys rally around Corliss, who would have been the coach. They rally. I think they probably get in at eight. And then, you know, then maybe, you know, and I think I think one coach told me he just wanted DeMarcus to taste the playoffs. Even if they got in and got beaten four games as an eight seed, he wanted those guys, you know, they wanted to see Rudy get back there. You wanted to see Isaiah, while he was a King at that point, experience that. They never got that. And so that's, to me, you know, that's the reason why you're still searching. You know, you can say, how do you build a winner? Well, this group has never built a winner. So, you know, do they really know how to build a winner? You know, you go into an offseason again, or probably this season, you know, now at least Monty's done the job for a little bit. But, you know, you had a point where free agency a year or two ago, no, everyone's new with their job. Like, Monty's never had to be that guy. And I think because Vlade had been so maligned, anything Monty did was, oh, at least Vlade didn't do that. So, I mean, it just led to so many different things that just went wrong. I mean, that's how you get the Vlade thing. That's how, you know, and then you get that almost embarrassing moment at Summer League where no one's sitting with George Karl. But then when Malone is in there, almost the entire Kings organization runs and hugs Malone, and poor George is sitting there by himself. I mean, and that's not George's fault. That's not, you know, it's just the environment that it created. And I think it just kind of, I think the guys who were on that team just lost faith in the organization because they felt like they don't want to win. They don't know what they want to do here. And when you try to talk to free agents and say, come out here with us, they're like, why? I mean, that's also the same year where LeBron James decided to randomly say at All-Star, I don't know what's going on in Sacramento. They fired my friend Michael Malone. So, I mean, this just, if you don't make that move, I know I even wrote a story about it. What happens? The guys on that team all believed they would have been a playoff team. They were on the way, and you can't get that momentum. They haven't gained that momentum back since.
Huge thank you to Jason for joining me on Locked On Kings today. Been a long time since I've had him on. Always a pleasure to talk to him and to get him and get his context on the things that DeMarcus Cousins had to say is awesome. But now I want to hear your reactions. Again, as someone who is not the biggest fan of DeMarcus Cousins, I disagree with his comments that he deserves to be have his jersey retired in Sacramento. I understand his argument, though I disagree with it. But I do 100% agree with him doing more for the Kings than they ever did for him. But I want to hear your thoughts on his comments. You can send them to me at MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com, or leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. Appreciate you joining me for another Locked On Kings podcast. Hope you will join me for the next one. Got more great episodes coming for you this week, so be sure to stay tuned as the offseason continues. Thank you so much as always, and I'll talk to you next time. Until then, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.